Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard-issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Habitat Podcast. I'm your host, Jared Van Hees, and thanks again for tuning in as we become better habitat managers. I already have another episode recorded for the next release, but a couple things happened these past few days that made me start to think. A couple good friends of mine dropped some really nice deer, and I figured we could probably learn something from their specific hunt. Their strategy, etc. So I'm going to interject this episode right away so we can all benefit from it. I'm not sure what I'm going to call these episodes yet. Maybe like in-season stories and pointers or hunting season pointers. I don't know yet. That's still to be determined. But the main part is I just hung up with Jake, and he put down a nice 143 and some change 10-point Michigan buck. That Jake is Jake Ehlinger, our number one episode guest from number one. And he got it done on October 4th here in southern Michigan. So I figured let's get him on, let's hear how he did it, why it happened, etc., so we can all learn. I want to say congratulations to Jake once more on his hell of a Michigan buck. And we're going to release this episode right away. So thanks again for tuning in, guys, as we become better habitat managers. And we're back with Jake Ehlinger. Jake, how are you doing today, sir?
I am doing pretty good, Jared. Thank you. How are you doing?
Well, not as good as you. I'm doing pretty good, but you are already you have one Michigan tag filled. How's that feel right about now?
You know, it's an interesting feeling because I've never killed a quality deer other than I killed some big does, and those are quality deer. But when
right.
it comes to target bucks, I've never killed a target buck this early in the season. Usually it's Halloween and on, you know.
Same here.
So it's a cool feeling because, you know, I like to grouse and woodcock hunt and pheasant hunt, and I'm looking forward to being able to do that without pressure.
Yeah. No, I hear you. When I saw your Facebook post, I was like, oh, my gosh, already? I mean.
I was just as surprised as you, believe me, which we'll get into the story. When it all unfolded, I was like, oh, my gosh, you know, who would believe this early in the season it's happening?
Let's get into it. So for anybody who doesn't know, Jake was our number one guest in the very first episode. Great response to that episode. He's quite the habitat and hunting guru in my neck of the woods here in Michigan. But he said something that I'm intrigued about, that you made some habitat changes, some unique changes about a month ago or so prior to season. You know, let's start out painting the picture with that. What were you doing a month ago that may have led you to this kill?
I'll tell you what, I've always, you know, I'm a big food plot guy, just because I like the patterns that you can create with food plot. And I have apple tree mast and I got tons of oaks, and you know, this year anybody in southern Michigan, because I've not traveled up to northern Michigan yet, but I would imagine most of southern Michigan, a lot of mass crops, lots of food, whether you grow a food plot or not. So I knew because of that, the deer were going to be kind of dispersed and difficult to pattern. But I had an incredible summer of soybean growth compared to, say, the year before we had such a drought. So my soybeans actually got, I measured them a number of different places. I'd say other than the edges where the, you know, where deer, you know, significantly browse and come out of a thick spot. But when you get out, you know, 20 yards into a into these soybeans, they're in that 42 to 50 inch height.
Holy
cow. Okay. Oh, yeah. Really tall. And, I've got this secluded, really nice, about an acre, about 1 3/4 acres secluded plot. The entry is, if you saw it, it's so dialed in. I only hunt it under high pressure, cold front northwest wind conditions. Only time I ever hunt it to start with. And over the years, I've seen some good deer. I killed another real nice deer in that food plot, I think 4 years ago, with a muzzleloader during gun season. Okay. So, it's always a good spot. I have, I get a lot of data. Okay. It's a great place to hunt, watch those. I kill a lot of those there.
Okay.
And just see what the bucks are doing. But over the years, I've seen some really nice big bucks work the edges, and I've got this scrape tree, and a lot of times they end up at the scrape tree, but it's too dark, you know? It's sort of like the last place they hang out to. So to fast forward where my mind was, it was like, based on some of the camera data, the deer were avoiding any of the center of that field. They were just working the edges. And I've got some pictures of, I would have a camera on time-lapse, and you can barely see the doe's heads as they're cutting through the edges of the beans. You know?
Those are huge.
So I have, you know, I'm a big believer in creating paths and travel corridors for deer in your hinge cutting and cover and all that.
Okay.
Well, I said, crap, I've got this brush hog. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to mow these paths in basically the direction that deer like to meander through this field and feed anyway. And they're going to converge right at that scrape tree, and I'm going to mow all the way around that scrape tree, and then they're going to take off. I've got a water pond, a little like a 4 foot by 4 foot. It's made by Earth Blinds. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's a water feature that fills with rainwater.
Yes, I've seen that. Yep. Yeah.
And so I mowed these paths. And then as soon as I got done, I came right back and I overseeded those paths with, winter rye and crimson clover. And
wow.
I thought, man, this will be so great. These deer will walk right down these paths and end up right here at this creek. Okay, you know, that's like my plan, all right? So, after I got done doing that, I have not even stepped foot anywhere close to that field since then.
Okay.
So it was middle of August. I said, man, or early September or whenever it was. But anyway, hey, I'm done. I'm out of here. We started having rain. I thought, oh, man, it's raining good. And all that stuff's going to germinate. It'll look pretty cool. So,
you literally mowed and created a food plot within a food plot.
So, you know, I typically oversee the edges and out in front of my blind.
Okay.
Anyways, with brassicas, all the cool season annuals. Yeah, which I did earlier, and I did that early, about the first week of August. I've actually got some drone video of me doing it.
Okay, yep.
So that did really, really good. So I go back in, I create these paths, because I wanted, you know, deer are such edge animals, and they're also lazy. Okay? They're very lazy. They like to walk where it's easy. I've learned that about deer. And, I did that, and this walk behind brush hog I have cuts about a 24-inch wide path. So I make one path, you know, and the beans were tall, and I had to go slow, and even though it's a great machine, you know, I had to take my time to chop up the beans and then turn around and come back and straddle it. So when I was done, I probably ended up having, it wasn't two paths wide, it was about 1.5 of my mowers wide, which is put it about 30 to 36 inches wide. Okay.
Beautiful.
So it makes sense? Can you see the picture?
Oh, definitely. Yep.
Yeah. And so there's a couple of locations that deer typically come out of the cover and enter that field and feed. And I've got a really large apple tree I planted just 5 years ago, and it's just hanging with big old red apples. And a lot of times the deer kind of enter the field right there, and they eat apples, and then they move into that field and browse on the brassicas and everything else, including the bees, when the bees turn brown. And they're just turning. You know, I planted these beans in late May, early June this year. I went ahead and used what I knew and created these highway freeway ramps right to the scrape tree. And there were two lanes that came out of there, you know, so they never feel like they're dead in, you know,
right.
They can approach there. And I could see as I got in there, there were some fresh scrapes underneath that cedar tree. It's like, oh yeah, I can zoom in and look at it in my binoculars. Oh yeah, I see some fresh scrapes there. So that's what I had done previously. So
okay.
I hope that answers the question.
Oh, it sure does. I can picture it in my mind. Perfect. So that was early September. Now you stayed out of there. The rain came down. We got plenty of rain. And then bow season starts. So now what?
Yeah. So, you know, it's you know what October 1st was like? Geez, what was it? You know, I think October 1st was still on the tail end of a cold front from the weekend before, because that would have been a week from this Monday.
Yeah.
But it was heading up and it was getting warm and humid. And I was watching the weather. And I watched two things. I watched temperature. Of course, always pay attention to wind direction. I also watched the pressure, high pressure, low pressure, whether it's stable, is it, is it moving around a lot? I always watched that. And right away, I noticed that there was a cold front coming Thursday night and settling in by Friday, and I saw ideal conditions for Thursday night and Friday morning.
Yep.
Where there was a 25-plus degree temperature drop and then a high-pressure system. So we were going from Thursday morning with really low pressure to Thursday afternoon to having that up into the sweet spot of about 30.5 to 30.15, okay, when it's measured in inches. And I always watch those. And there's also there's a new app out there called DeerCast, released by the breweries, where
yep.
they take a lot of features, including those, and along with some moon stuff. And, you know, I'm kind of a moon position guy, too. But being it was early season, I don't watch the moon quite as much because, you know, let's face it, deer are pretty random early in the season. Like, you know, if it had been a month ago, say, like some of the states that have these mid-September seasons, I could have really patterned that deer and knew where he was. But now that we're in the first week of October, who knows where he's at, right?
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. They've made that transition by that point.
The weather conditions were right. The wind direction was right. And the more it got closer to Thursday and the more, constantly updating the forecast, looking at real time. And so I told my wife, I said, man, I'm going to shower. I'm going to get ready. And I'm going in there early. And so I did. I got all showered, went through all my scent control, and I was heading out of the house by a little after 4:30, okay, in the afternoon, because I wanted to arrive at that stand before 5 in the evening. So that gives me 2.5 hours. Get in, hopefully, before the movement pattern, and, check out the event, see what happens.
All right, no, that's perfect. And this is October 4th for everyone who doesn't
4th.
Know. So a couple yeah. days ago. And all right, yeah. go ahead and roll out the story,
really.
Jake. What happened?
Okay, so I'm heading into that blind, and I have a really good access, between trees that I plant and the hybrid sorghum, very secluded access. I'm cutting my way in. I'm about 30 yards from the which is a Banks blind, if anybody is curious, but I do have a Banks blind which tucks into the pine trees. And if you saw how I get in, it's very quiet. I mean, I spend a lot of time. My pathway in is filled with Roundup. I'm not breaking a stick. I'm not crunching anything. Okay.
Wow.
And I'm kind of peeking with my eyes, and I can see the backs of deer out in that food plot already. I'm
really?
Like, oh, man. Yeah, I go,
no
shoot,
way.
No. So I, so believe me, the 16-18 foot climb into that blind took me about 3.5 minutes.
Wow.
And as I'm getting higher, I got a lot of brush, and I got some trees that I hinge cut, and I've transplanted some grapevines to grow all over the base of this ladder so that as I'm going up, I'm in a lot of cover. And I get to the door to where I can finally open the door, and I'm looking out, and geez, I see antlers about 30 yards away. It's really nice, 2.5-year-old out there feeding them. Oh, man, I got to get this blind yet. But the truth is, I pull it off. I get in, the doors are shut, I'm sitting in there, and I look out, I got 8 deer out in front of me.
Wow. Oh, my.
Does and fawns, 2 different bucks. It's just like, wow. You know, and you know, you get some of those nights and you just get this feeling.
Yep.
And I'm just sitting there soaking it all in, you know, and I've got a backpack, and my backpack, I've got a spot, I hang it, I get my binoculars. Everybody's got their own process.
Yep.
And even though I'm in that blind, I'm still 100% scent free, and I've got my carbon mask on, you know, and I've been through all my zeolite. We talked about that in the first episode.
Yes, sir.
So I'm in, you know, and this blind has some windows on it, and eventually it's got some very tight seals. So when I get an opportunity and the deer finally about 20 minutes later drift off, and there's only like 3 of them now about 60 yards away, I start opening the windows to break that seal so that when I do, if should a shot opportunity happen, I can open the windows pretty silent.
And okay.
So I go through that entire process, and then I get my video camera out, and I've got a tripod, and I just start taking some video and took some video and still shots with some of the deer, and I actually had a doe and her twins with triplets coming right down one of those mode vents. I'm like, oh, man. This is working pretty good, isn't it? You know, I'm just kind of soaking it all in. And basically, there was a lot of activity till about, oh, I'm going to say, that first hour. I had a solid hour of all kinds of deer and movement, young bucks, different doe groups. I probably saw a dozen or more doe and fawns and 2 other younger bucks in and out with some younger deer. And pretty much the field cleared about 6 p.m. because we have a local little town that always blows their fire whistle right at 6.
Okay.
And that fire whistle went off, and I thought, man, there's not a deer in the field, you know, about when I would expect to see him. And so I took the opportunity to, at that time, to, you know, just take some video, zoom in on some spots and things like that. And, hey, I'm just loving it, you know. I can't first night out, it's nice and cool, I got a north wind, this is great. I mean, it's already a success, right?
Oh,
and
sure.
So it gets about I'm gonna say around 6:40. I go, okay, I've got another, you know, this is sort of the witching hour. I've got about 40 minutes of daylight left. And I see another 2.5-year-old buck, which I've been getting pictures of this year. I see him down on this one corner feeding, and he kind of stays in that corner feeding, and he gets behind the cedar tree, which I have out in front of me, and I can't see him, and I look over more to the north of me, and I see this 1.5-year-old buck step out of the brush, and he's in there feeding. I go, oh, okay, man, that's nice. You know, bucks are starting to come out. And he keeps looking behind him, And pretty soon, right, you know, I have to kind of look kind of off to the side of this one window, and I can see some antler tips bobbing in the soybeans. And this was, you know, I'm going to say 65, 70 yards away. And sure enough, the head pops up, and I see those tall tines and wide red. Oh, man, that's Pretty Boy. This buck that I named Pretty Boy from, I'd seen him last year, and was really getting some pretty good data on him this year, but he was real random all summer. You know, you get pictures of him in one place, 2 weeks later, you get pictures of him somewhere else, he'd totally evacuate. You know how they are. They just move around a lot of different locations in the summer. So anyway, he just kept feeding and doing his thing, getting closer, and I took a lot of footage. And so he gets to where one of these, my first mode path, which was over on the north side of that plot, it kind of snakes like an S-curve through the soybeans up towards that cedar tree. And he feeds, and he starts coming down that path. I go, oh, my gosh, he's coming right to me. And he kind of stops, you know, and big deer are tricky. So So he's got his back, right? Or the wind now is right to his back. A lot of people will call that tailwind.
Mm-hmm.
He was happy with that. And literally, I have video of him walking backwards and then going back and heading west, going, nope, I'm not comfortable. He wants to go out to that cedar tree. He wants to work those sprays to see who's been in there, but he's not quite ready yet. So he keeps feeding. Probably takes him another 6-8 minutes. And I see him, you know, working some other sprays. I got some hickory trees and other apple tree, and there's always scrapes there. And I'm paying attention to him, and I look right down in front of that scrape tree, and that little year and a half that had popped out in front of him is walking right in, and he's working those scrapes right in front of me. And I just, at that point, I said, I know that buck's going to follow him. And I look up, and here he comes. You know?
Oh, man. Live decoy.
Now he's heading east from the west side of the plot, following that mode path. And, I mean, it's getting tense. And then this other 2.5 is right over, got a camera view, so I've got 3 bucks coming in on me really close.
I mean,
this is 15 yards or less. And I haven't even got my windows open yet. So what I did was, because I had my equipment and where my backpack was, and I had this tripod, and I was trying to move my camera around, I wasn't where it was and being able to get a shot. So I turn the camera off, okay, and move it out of the way, and now I got 2 bucks with their heads up in the cedar branches working straight, okay? And I take that opportunity to open the window, okay, because, you know, they see reflections and they see all kinds of things. And I open the window, and it's got hinges at the top, so I have to fold it up and then push it up above, the way the hinges are, they're tight, and it'll hold it's a plexiglass window, and it'll hold it in position. And I get the window open, and he's still right there, just got his head up in the cedars, and there's his, all of his body, all exposed, broadside.
Oh, man.
And I just put the crosshairs right behind his elbow and touched it off, and I watched the bolt zip right through that deer. I heard that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
I love that sound.
He hightailed it right out of there and headed directly north and did not follow the mode path at that point.
All right, well, yeah, that'd be asking a little much.
Yeah, so he was, you know, he's like, I'm out of here. So he gets to the edge of the field, which means he probably ran a total of about 40 yards and turns around and looks back like, what happened? And at that moment, he just crashed to the ground.
Oh, my goodness.
Right
there. Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, it just happened so fast, you know. So that was probably more about probably 5 minutes after 7 about that time, you know. So it probably took a good solid 20 minutes plus or minus for when I first saw him before I got my shot. And then, you know, I shot him, and, you know, I saw him fall, and you know, and that's for me, that's when the buck sees me. Now, man, I'm shaking, and I'm just, you know, I notice I'm breathing harder. I'm like, wow, crazy. Look what I just did, you know. And so I, you know, waited a few minutes and gathered my stuff and climbed down. And, of course, I have a video camera with me, and I did the recovery all on video. And you'll enjoy it when I finally get it all done, getting on YouTube. Pretty good.
Oh, I cannot wait.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's pretty exciting, you know. And so to, you know, I've been getting pictures of this deer, and I knew the deer from last year, and it's just proof positive again. If you've got good habitat, and you can let him go. I mean, he was a nice deer last year, and I let him go last year, and he was a great trophy for anybody last year. He really bloomed out this year, and I did a very detailed scoring on him yesterday or day before yesterday when I took him to the tech. And let me grab my sheet real quick.
Oh, please do.
Exactly. Now, this is gross score.
Yeah, I think nuts are for fish.
But he's 143 and 1/8.
Wow, Jake. Congratulations, man.
So, you know, pretty cool. You know, I'm just thrilled. Man, I tell you. You know, when we first met, we talked, and I'm not trying to be boastful, but what I want people to understand is if you do the work, and get out there and do things when it's 90 or 20 below zero or whenever you can, and can have some restraint on your own and have some faith that all those deer that you think the neighbors are killing, they're not.
Right.
You know, for 5 years in a row, I have killed my truck buck.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
5 years in a row. And just amazing, you know. And it was 5 years ago, I decided I was going to hunt differently. And I was always a good hunter then, but I decided to hunt less. I think we talked a lot about that.
Yeah.
And then only hunt when the conditions are right, you know.
Yeah,
and,
I think that's a...
I cannot say that more.
Yeah.
I know you'll run into people you can't kill them from the couch, and that's true, but I think you can also educate those deer so that you can't kill them. So,
I fully agree.
Good balance, okay? I believe in balance. So, anyways, that's how it works, and it's awesome.
Well, congratulations, Jake. So, I mean, that's a heck of a deer on October 4th. Oh, my goodness. Here in Michigan. Well, in Michigan. Come on.
Yeah. You know what we deal with here in Michigan?
Oh, I get it.
You know, yeah. So, yeah, I just feel I'm happy to share it with you, and you know what a habitat guru nut I am. And I'm actually really looking forward to the rut because two things. Because it's the rut, even in Michigan, you never know what might happen. And I do have another really nice deer that I got great pictures. Found his shed, have not, I actually got a visual on him. I have not gotten one game camera picture of him yet, but I got a pretty good feeling now that this guy's out of the way, he'll be moving in.
Was that that big shed that you put on Facebook last year?
Yep.
Oh,
yep,
my goodness. Yeah,
and I got friends of mine that have seen him at night.
Okay.
Off on the road. So he's around, and my gut feeling is he's probably going to move in. So he may not, but if he does, I'm going to have fun hunting him.
Yeah, well, I don't think there's any place in the area where he would rather be, you know. You have the spot right there for him, I think.
Wow.
But,
hey, I thanks for letting me share the story. Just a blast, you know.
No, thank you.
You know, I love the habitat, love doing the habitat work, but I have such high regard for these animals and their instincts. And, you know, there's a lot, where I was patterning that deer in July, August, September, about 400 yards away from where I killed him, and I just had a feeling that he would move over towards the food when it got closer to October, and sure enough, he did, you know. So,
well, congratulations again. I mean, you capitalized on the right situation there.
No, I appreciate it.
That was awesome. I mean.
Now it's your turn.
Oh, man, you have me so fired up right now, it's unbelievable. I couldn't make it out Thursday. I know that was the night. I couldn't make it out Friday morning. That was the next best thing. So, but I went out Friday night, and it felt right, but the weather was starting to warm back up, and I didn't see a deer. But I seeing your pictures and hearing this story today is literally the next best thing to being out there myself. So.
Well, good, isn't it? I think there's a pretty, it looks like it's going to be fairly warm, humid, some rain most of this week.
Yep.
A pretty nice cold front coming towards next weekend. And if you can get a chance to get out there and capitalize on it, take advantage of it. And
you got it, Jake. I will.
All I can say is, you know, just believe in yourself, believe in your habitat, believe in you're in the right, to convince yourself you are in the right place. I think there's a lot to. That's a whole other podcast, but I think if people were a little more positive and believed in what they were doing, they'd be a little more successful.
Yeah, so, well, that's a good place to wrap this up with those thoughts in mind, okay. Jake. I appreciate
all right,
you coming on. I'd like to get you on again
in
the future, but good luck the rest of the season. I know you're going to have a great rest of the season, so thank you so much for coming on and telling your story.
More than welcome, Jared. Yep, you take.
Thank you to Jake for coming on and helping me with my early season strategy. Hopefully everybody else learned some things to do there as well. All the extra work he put in, the paths through the bean field, the time, waiting for the right timing, the preparation, everything came together for Jake, and I think we can all learn from that. If everybody wants to go see the video of that hunt, you'll be able to see it on his Habitat Solutions YouTube and Facebook page, so be sure to check Jake out there.
If you want to hear more from the Habitat Podcast, where we try to become better habitat managers, go to habitatpodcast.com. There's a YouTube that we're firing up. Not much there yet, but stay tuned. We can find our episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, Owlet, I think is the name of one I saw the other day. Anywhere you can find a podcast, we're trying to be on there. So please go ahead, leave us a great review. Thank you to those that do leave us great reviews. It doesn't go unnoticed. And you know what, guys? I'm going to come at you with some more of these in-season stories and pointer-type podcasts. Still need to come up with a name, but I'm going to keep coming at you with some podcasts. So thanks for following along, and get out there. Good luck this season. Enjoy your woods, and become a better habitat manager. Thanks, guys.
Thursdays with Saltwater Experience, brought to you by Golden Boat Lift, every Thursday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment. On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep-sea adventures.
Coming to me.
Double. He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.